Hello and welcome to MNIT Talks. My name is Paul Harvey. I'm the editor of MNIT and I'm here today with Robert Kenwood, the founder of USearch and Select, the co-founder of UXclusive and the Reach EDI Scholarships, and multiple MNIT Award nominee this year. Welcome to the show, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Paul. That's getting longer and longer, that intro title. Hopefully it will be winner of MNIT, not just nominated. That would be awesome.
Well, we'll have to wait until September to find out, won't we?
We will, and I've already booked in getting my suit fit for my new shape.
So we are here today to talk about the 2023 Annual Event Industry Salary Survey, which you have just launched, which is very exciting. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, so I launched it last year. As you know, I'm a recruiter for the industry and been in recruitment events sort of 20 odd years. Salaries are always... they're always a question that I'm asked by job seekers, always by clients, you know, and there's never been anywhere really that you can go to and use as like a benchmark or, you know, use as some sort of data, if you will. And obviously, as a recruiter, everyone thinks you're just trying to get the most salary anyway. So no one listens to a recruiter anyway. So I thought, look, I'll put it out there, get some data, look at it. So we did that last year and we had just over 1,200 people. I thought that the feedback I was getting was really positive. We had over 500 people, 600 people download it. Again, about another 2,000 people registered to download it, which, you know, was sent out. So about 2,500 people wanted to read it. So it really, for me, sort of struck that chord of like, actually, it's really useful because it wasn't just about salary. We were looking into, and, you know, this is obviously just after the pandemic, not had subsided as such, but had calmed down.
There's lots of really fascinating other stuff about in kind of like a makeup of the industry, you know, gender balance and kind of diversity and all that business. So it's really fascinating stuff. All of those questions are still going to be in the new edition. Is that right?
They are. I think we sort of learned quite a lot from last year. Hence this year, well, we've got Cvent behind us this year as our like headline sponsor, which obviously everyone knows Cvent, and that will help us get more eyes on it, as you can imagine. We've got DRPG and UXclusive as sponsors as well, who have been part of, helping us share the news. We've sort of expanded it a bit. We did some bits on EDI last year, bits on mental health, but we've really gone into a bit more of the detail now where we can cross-reference a lot more. So rather than just having sort of channels A, B, C answers, we can actually mix them up. So, you know, we can look at not just gender, not just race, not just age, but we can mix them all up into the different sectors. You know, the industry's got so many different sort of parts and sectors. So we'll really be able to go into the detail. And the white paper that Jill Hawkins produces on behalf of the survey, it's a real sort of piece of literature that, you know, you can take the time to read and it will help you. It's not just you should get paid more money because of this. This is what we should be doing as the normal. And we're aiming this year for about 2,500 people to complete it. So, get your listeners, your readers onto the survey.
I've been looking at the results from last year, actually. I think the big question, kind of the simple straight down the line yes or no one, is are you happy with your current salary? And it's quite surprising, actually. Like, it was yes, 46%, no, 54%. Yeah, yeah. So more than half of people in the industry last year weren't happy with the salary. Were you surprised by that?
No, I thought it was going to be higher. I thought a lot of people would say they're not happy with their salary. But interestingly, that is a dovetail of what we saw last year anyway, which was, you know, last year was almost like the first year after the nightmare of.
Yeah.
And last year, everyone went crazy last year. Everyone was paying silly salaries. Everyone was, you know, and I was talking at lots of events saying to employers, you know, yes, you're going to have to pay a little bit over the odds, but stop paying silly money, because what's going to happen next year is you're going to have a workforce full of people who are basically overpaid for their output. And that, unfortunately, that's where you see lots of redundancy. So I was surprised that we'd see more than that. And I was also surprised, I think there's one in there about how much more would you, how much more would you like to make you happy? And I think it was something like 3 to 5%. You know, it wasn't like ridiculous amounts of money. It was just... it goes into that thing now of like, just pay me what is, you know, treat me like a human being, treat me with respect, don't treat me like an idiot. Also, as event professionals, you know, people are in the industry itself, as you know, people are very, very sort of soft touch, high touch. There's a big community. you know, you don't go into events to be a millionaire. Let's be honest. It's not what you go into it for. But you want to be paid a decent salary, a decent wage for what you do. And I think that really came across.
And there was also quite an interesting one, which I think we'll see reflected in the results this year as well. Why are you unhappy with your salary? And of the people who were unhappy with the salary, 32% of them said that it hadn't risen with the cost of living. Which obviously, I mean, the cost of living crisis is an ongoing thing. And would you expect to see that change at all this year? How do you think the cost of living is affecting salaries at the moment?
I think what we'll see this year, and you know, I spend half my life talking to owners of agencies and C-suite and people like that. I think this year we'll see the packages really come up to where people are expecting, because, you know, last year showed as well, it's not all about salary. You know, cost of living is important, but so is standard of living. And I think that standard of living, you know, last year we talked flexible working, for example, but that was like work as home as much as you want. There wasn't a lot of structure around it. All those companies were saying, come into the office Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. It's not flexible working. You know, that's telling someone when to come in. So I think, based on my intel, and I guarantee we'll see it this year, I think we'll see a rise in benefits being a bit more personalised and a bit more realistic than, we'll just give everyone free gym membership. Well, that's not really a benefit, because, you know, it might be. Unless you know what your people want, you're just putting something on. So I think we'll see a lot more spoke packages, or a lot of packages that are real in the real world, you know, rather than just bog standard, have this because we think you'll like it.
I've got a few of the stats in front of me on the benefits that the companies provide. I mean, the biggest one was hybrid working. Is 63% of people had hybrid working. The next biggest one was a mobile phone. 60% of people get a phone.
It's nuts, isn't it?
But I was quite surprised wellness programs are not kind of well used. 21% of people get wellness programs in the industry. I don't know if we, from what you're saying, it sounds like, is that the kind of thing you'd expect to see going up?
Yeah, very much so. And I think one of the, you know, there are some good things that came out of the pandemic, and I tried to be positive on that without ignoring the disaster and, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
And I think one of those was the ability to talk about mental health more. And I think especially from a male point of view, and I'm, you know, talking from my own point of view, mental health has become something a lot more acceptable to discuss without it being seen as a weakness. Because look, I manage people most of my career, and I'm terrible at managing people. You know, when I'm a great leader, I was told, but terrible manager. And you know, if someone was talking to me about mental health, I wouldn't know how to deal with that. And I think we saw that last year, in that people offered mental health, but they didn't really know what they were doing, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm not a mental health trainer, so how can I, with my team, say, I'm here to support you with mental health? And I think last year we saw people saying, it's there. And I think this year we'll see people saying, I'm using it and it's helping. You know, there's lots of people out there, you know, Helen Moon, Laura Capalagra, who do this for our industry. But I think a lot more employers now got their head around the fact that, and I'm sorry to be really crass here, but if you support people with mental health, then they're more likely to stay within your business for the longer term. Yeah. And I think mental health before was like, I think there was a lot of sympathy, but not a lot of empathy in our industry, you know? And I think we'll see that change. I think we'll see people say, like, and hearing mobile phones and flexible working is still a benefit. You know, I hope we stop talking about flexible working as a benefit. And I still have now, you know, laptop and mobile phone and 20 days holiday is a benefit. It's like, that is not a benefit. Let's stop putting that out there, you know?
One of the most striking things is the makeup of the industry and then the average pay and what people are paid within the industry. So there's 31% of the industry is male, 68% is female, and the other 1% is gender non-conforming, or would prefer not to say. But that's kind of generally what I would have expect to see. 47% of the men in the industry are paid more than 65k, compared to 19% of the women in the industry who are paid 65k or more. That's quite striking, isn't it? There's a lot of men at the top of the industry who are paid a lot of money, and there's a lot of women making up the bulk of the rest of the people in the industry. Is that right?
Yeah, and look, you know, let's not talk about it, but I've been in industry a long time, you've been in industry a long time, we know that's a fact. And I think it's twofold from what we're seeing is, you know, a lot of the people that run agencies at the top or at the senior C-suite are, you know, legacy agency owners or legacy C-suite, and they are men. Now, you know, usually when you're an owner of an agency or a C-suite, you are paid more than 60,000. We are seeing that change now, as you know, that women are now, you know, in a position of C-suite, in a position of lots of agency owners, and that will change. So that's the one thing that I think that's an organic change that we'll see. You know, the more agency owners there are that are female or more C-suite, of course, the salaries will increase. But I think the other side of it now is asking for salary, like going for a job. And I talk about this a lot, about putting salary brackets on job adverts. You know, we still unfortunately have a salary gap in our industry. And the data, we didn't have enough data, but we will this time, to look at, is there also an ethnicity pay gap as well? Because we know that exists in the UK. But in our industry, the salary, the gender pay gap is because of, you know, we've all been there. A guy asks for more money, or a guy asks for the top level salary, and he's seen as like a go-getter or forward thinking. And then a woman does it and she gets labeled as like, you know, a ball breaker or an alpha female and all these negative connotations. And I think we're all quite guilty of that along the way, consciously, I'd say unconsciously. But I think now people are understanding and getting their worth. And I think flexible working, because we still are in an industry, well, and a world where women still probably are the primary caregiver. That is quite accepted, whether it's right or wrong, nothing to do with me. But we still have women as the primary caregiver. So there is still that thing around, should I be asking for more because I need more flexibility? But of course, the pandemic given us the flexibility. You know, I'm working from home today. You know, I'm going to pick my boy up at 3 o'clock today, 4 o'clock today. I had to make sure I get that right. I could have been in trouble there. And, you know, I'm going to pick my boy up. So it makes me more flexible and therefore the industry more flexible. So I think the salaries will come to sort of level with, well, actually, it doesn't matter who you are. As long as you can do the job, as long as you're staying here and your output's the same, we should all get paid the same, you know, for the job title.
It's a fascinating thing. But like it's also, I think, you like say, organic change. And we will probably see those changes coming through. It'd be fascinating to see it when it comes out. I don't know if there's anything else that you're kind of expecting to see in the results.
Well, I'm interested to see the locations. I'm really, you know, there's been an exodus of people from London in the, you know, as we've seen now that people. So I'm really interested to see what that demographic looks like now. I am interested to see about the salary, because for me, I would expect to see it a lot more that people happy this year. Because if you think about, I've had my big salary last year, and last year we heard about, you know, the great resignation, everybody called it last year. Yeah. This year, I call it the great everybody stay where you are because you're not too sure what's around the corner, so it's better to know where you are. Situation.
That's a catchy title, that one.
It's catchy, isn't it? Because you know, a lot of people are, and not as many people are moving this year. You know, we've seen some of the impact globally, so I think a lot more people hopefully will say, actually, it's okay, you know, salary's okay. I think the package is really important, that package. And there are a few companies that have really got that sorted, and I won't name check them because I'll get told off for other companies are available. But, you know, there's a few companies that have really looked into what do our people want. You know, they've created these packages for benefits where the employees choose rather than being told. And that's what I'm really interested to see. Like, has benefits moved on from mobile phone and laptop, like we said, to pure flexible working? And even the beginning, and I'm starting to see this already in the US, something called fractional working, which I won't go into now. But we all know project working, but I believe fractional working is something that's coming to us probably next year as well. And I'm interested to see those working patterns and those sort of output levels as well.
It's really fascinating. So we just need as many people to take part as possible. How long do we have? Do you know when the survey's running till?
I'm going to get
it's
shot.
Okay,
I don't know when it. I know. I think it's
end of September.
I think it's beginning of September. You go onto my website, usas.co.uk.
Oh, it's the 1st of September. I remember.
1st of September. There you go.
That's my daughter's birthday. That's why it stuck in my head.
So you go on the website, usas.co.uk. There's a big purple button on the top right that says the Event Industry Salary Survey in association with CVEN. Click on there, takes you less than 8 minutes. You'll automatically get a copy of the white paper and all the results sent to you. There's no paywall. There's no, like, you're not going to get bombarded with marketing from me. It doesn't interest me at all. I just want as many people to get on there and share it, because, you know, it's great to have that both as an employer and employee, to have that information, you know?